We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
All right, welcome to this episode of Owl Pellets. This is Brian and Kate. We are here by the Owl Pellet. We are missing our good friend and colleague, Marshall, who is on an international trip right now, but we will try to soldier on in his absence. We are excited today to have with us David Chapman and Kirby Barrick. We're going to talk about middle school ag and what influences middle schoolers to enroll in high school agriculture. David is a middle school agriculture teacher in Georgia. Kirby is a professor here at the University of Florida, and we are excited to have them with us. David and Kirby, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. So middle schoolers, you got to love them. I'd always tell my story when I was teaching eighth graders. I think they should be hosed down when they walk into school and hose them down again about noontime. So, David, tell me, how do you work with middle schoolers every day, and what's the great thing we got going on with them?
Well, the enjoyable part of middle school ag education is that you get the students at a young age. You get to work with them. You get to watch them mature. You get to watch them grow. But more importantly, you get to plant the seed in their future, and you get to help them and nurture them through the ag education program, with the overall goal being to help them continue enrollment as they enter their into secondary program. So just a great way to bridge and connect a student to the high school program within their county, but also even more importantly, helping them grow, helping foster them into good informed consumers within society.
David, can you just give us a brief overview of your program, grade levels, kind of things you're working with, so folks kind of get a good idea of the context you work in every day?
In my school system and in most school systems in Georgia, in middle school ag education, you have students from grade 6 through 8, and usually they're taught on rotations. Now, this has changed over the years, and some students are on semester schedules, but for the most part, students are on 9-week rotational schedules, and that's the way it is at my school. So I'll have a group of students, usually 6 classes, 2 of 8, 2 of 7, and 2 of 6. I have those students for a 9-week rotation, and then I get another group of students. So I actually teach 4 rotations of students throughout the year, so I get the opportunity to see a lot of different students and a lot of different classes. And these students receive different instruction in each grade level. They start out in 6th grade, and they kind of get the basics of Georgia agriculture, a little bit of each area with plant science, animal science, and so forth. And then in 7th grade, it's real heavy focus on plant science, and natural resources and forestry. And then in high school, in eighth grade, it kind of goes back to that general overview again, where they get a little bit of each area, really focusing in on leadership as well.
Well, we're here today to talk about a study that you conducted as part of your master's degree program. It actually was your thesis, I believe. And the title was, What Influenced Middle Schoolers to Enroll in High School Agriculture? So maybe can you talk to us a little bit about what got your interest in this idea, and maybe a little bit about how the study was done?
So the interest in this for me was just simply due to what I love and what my passion is, which is getting students excited about and started in ag education. Really just kind of the need for the study, and what led to the idea was a couple of different things, which includes, of course, agricultural literacy and establishing a community of informed consumers. Which will be then able to help solve the problems in agriculture in the future of feeding a growing population. Middle school ag education and that enrollment is critical in that process. So the study was designed to try to determine specifically what experiences led a student to make a positive enrollment decision as they transitioned into high school. So looking at what experiences that students have in their middle school ag education, which of those experiences either had a positive influence or a negative influence on their decision to enroll. And the way that we did this was we actually provided a questionnaire to ninth grade students that provided them with a list of things that they may have had experience in related to the three components of agriculture education. So we had experiences of classroom and laboratory instruction, which were those linked to the state standards for Georgia middle school ag education. We had experiences listed for the FFA, which are those FFA experiences typically offered to middle school students. And then we had SAE experiences, which range all the way from just their personal SAE project to record-keeping skills and recognition for their SAE project. So we actually looked at all three of those areas, and we provided students in ninth grade who were actually already enrolled in an ag education course at the high school. We asked them to reflect upon their middle school ag education and the experiences that they had and indicate the level of influence that each of these experiences had on that decision. So we knew that these students had in fact made a decision to enroll. So we were able to look at the experiences that they had with the understanding that something happened in middle school that likely caused them to enroll when they went to high school. We look at those experiences, we ask them to rate the level of influence so that we could look back on them and try to determine what those specific experiences were that caused that decision.
David, I've got a quick question with that. You had these experiences that you were measuring to see if they created a difference. Did you look at anything outside of what you might find in the three-component model? So, for example, parents and their either encouragement or discouragement of joining ag, or you know, the influence of friends. Did you happen to look at any of those factors?
We did look at some of those factors. We looked at, of course, the gender breakdown, which was almost 50-50. And then we did look at just some demographic type information, but then we also looked at the background of the students, whether they're from rural or urban areas, and whether they had families in agricultural careers, all of which seemed to be about a 50-50, kind of a toss-up on, you know, whether they actually had an influence or not. So about half the students had family members with careers in agriculture, half didn't. But the primary focus was on the three components of ag education and how those three components related to that.
So as you're going through there, what was your biggest finding? Why, what made these ninth graders decide to go ahead and enroll after being in a middle school ag program?
Our eyes as ag teachers can really be opened because we focus a lot on FFA, and it's because I think a lot of times as ag teachers we're very passionate about FFA because we know what FFA can do for students, and more than likely FFA had a major part in our lives as well. But what we have to realize is that we have these students the majority of the time in the classroom every single day. And a lot of times it's easy to forget that because of the amount of time that it takes to be a good advisor and to work with the FFA program. The findings of the study showed something that I think we all need to really pay attention to and take to heart. And that is that out of the top 10 experiences that a student has in ag education, out of the top 10 experiences, and we've got to remember, too, this is from the perspective of the student. So they are telling us these things. They are sharing with us what influenced them. So out of the 10, 7 of those 10 experiences were from the classroom and laboratory experience. 2 out of the 10 were from the supervised agricultural experience program. And only 1 of the top 10 influential factors was a part of the FFA. And that one was actually just being an FFA member, being a part of something bigger than themselves. So I think, you know, sometimes we need to take a step back and realize that first and foremost, we're agriculture teachers. And we need to be providing quality school-based instruction in agriculture every day to our students so that they can learn about agriculture so that they can become passionate, and the rest will happen. But these students are telling us that the classroom is what's influencing them, and rightly so, because that's where they spend most of their time. And so, and if you look at it from another perspective, from the top 10 influential factors, 7 are specifically from classroom and laboratory instruction, which included hands-on learning, learning about specific parts of agriculture, learning about animal science, learning about Georgia agriculture. Two were from SAE, which we already know is experiential learning. One of those two was learning about record-keeping skills, which is a skill that's also taught in the classroom. The other one was simply their SAE project, their personal SAE project, so which, you know, we're providing instruction on, and we're providing those record-keeping knowledge. And then the last one is being an FFA member, not a specific event, not a specific CDE, but just being an FFA member, which we also know is an experiential opportunity for these students. These students are allowing us to understand the role of the education, that providing that quality education plays in that decision. I think that's really important.
So you kind of brought this up for a moment, that there are many skills and things that are more integrated into more than one component of the model, right? We might train a CDE team in the classroom, and many of the core content that's within our classroom, that translates into SAEs and into different FFA events. So do you think that makes a difference in what middle schoolers are being attracted to and what they are enjoying?
I think it does. And I also think that most importantly, we need to make sure that we provide that quality instruction. And it's easy to focus on FFA and get wrapped up in all the things that you need to be doing outside of school and those other things, that we lose track of the importance of quality instruction. And so the students are allowing us to see here through the study, through the questionnaire that they responded to, the role that it plays, the instruction plays in that decision. So if we will provide that quality instruction, I think that we'll make a significant progress on recruiting students and retaining students as they transition from middle school to high school.
Kirby, as you were working with us on this study with David about this, was there anything that really kind of surprised you, either that things that made the list or things that didn't make the list?
As David pointed out, I can still recall that Dr. Thorne and I meeting with David in his defense of his thesis. It was an aha moment when we looked at those top 10 influencers and saw that the vast majority of those are really related to classroom and laboratory instruction. I think that we have to be mindful, though, that this does not send a message we shouldn't have FFA in middle school or we shouldn't think about SAE. Those are just relative influencers for students to continue enrollment in high school ag. Now, one thing, in fact, I talked recently with a couple staff members from National FFA, and we had a conversation about FFA has tended to just take the 9 through 12 involvement and push that down through 6th to 8th grade involvement, and that might not make much sense. For example, there is a creed contest in every state, and it's only held once a year. Most middle school students are not enrolled in ag for an entire academic year. So if the creed speaking contest is the first half of the second semester, the students in the other three quarters, if you will, really don't have an opportunity. So perhaps part of it is that we also need to have activities both with FFA and SAE that are more appropriate age-wise for 6th through 8th graders, and more appropriate to fit into a middle school schedule. Of course, we've only talked about Georgia's program. We have, as you know, lots of middle schoolers here in Florida. Other states have middle schoolers. The programs are different. So it's probably up to a local program to figure out, here's what we ought to do. We do indeed need to teach them agriculture to influence them to continue into secondary school ag programs, and then do what's right for our students in our own situation.
So both of you have kind of mentioned about how the middle school programs help the high school programs and they act as feeder programs for them, and that maybe how the FFA works between them needs to be a little different. So for the teachers out there that may have an opportunity, either a middle school teacher that might have an opportunity to work with a high school teacher or a high school teacher that might have an opportunity to work with a middle school program, how do you suggest they go ahead and start working together to really enhance their overall district ag program.
I think that connection piece is extremely important between the middle school and high school ag teacher. And it comes from a couple of different perspectives. First, it makes a really good bridge between the two programs and allows the students to see continuity. And so these students are then able to, they know the ag teacher, they're familiar with them, maybe they see them. And a lot of times what we'll see as successful programs is those teachers work hand in hand and they actually do programs at both schools. So for example, high school might bring some of their high school students down to the middle school and meet with them, maybe come to a chapter meeting and actually meet with the students, let them see the officers, let them see kind of what the future may hold for them. And, you know, of course, with traveling, a lot of times middle school and high school will travel together, and that allows them to kind of see the continuity and see what they can continue to do as they progress through the program. But I do think it's very important for a student, especially a young student in middle school, to be able to see that the high school program is a continuation and that they can continue as they move into high school. And I think a lot of that's done by the two programs working together closely, maybe aligning some of the things that they do. If you've got a good middle school program with students coming through that are very successful at a particular competition, you know, you want to make sure that the high school teacher is aware of those students so that they can kind of embrace them and bring them in and continue working with them so that they're not lost in the transition. So I think those kind of conversations, those kind of meetings, between students and also advisors are important in order to establish that connective piece.
I think one of the cool things I got from reading through your study here was, okay, yes, we want to use the middle school experiences to prepare them to get them into the high schools, but it's important to focus on that middle school experience and really teach them agriculture because that's what they're looking for. They want that good classroom experience in there as well. So guys, as we wrap this thing up, it's been a great conversation. I want to end up by asking both of you guys to respond, David first, then followed up by Kirby. David, based on this study, you're in the trenches. You're out there working with middle school students. What are some things that you've done to change your practice based on this study and tips for other teachers you have? And the same thing for you, Kirby. What are some tips that you might have for middle school teachers out there based on these studies? So, David, why don't you get us kicked off there?
As Dr. Barrett mentioned earlier, when I was defending my thesis, that was kind of the first time when I really put this thing together and I began to look at it that I realized, and in going through college, they had told us many times, make sure you're providing quality instruction to your students every day because you may not be able to take every student to a competition or to a specific event, but you'll have that kid every day in class and you have an opportunity every day to make a difference. So when I was going through that and I saw that, it really opened my eyes because I love the FFA, and the FFA has been a huge part of my life and the person that I've become. And so it's very easy for me to become super focused on the FFA, and the FFA is very, very important. As we talked about earlier, it's a very important part of the three components of ag education and as well as SAE. But it's also very important to ensure that we are providing good quality instruction to our students every day because that provides you with the opportunity to connect with a student that might not otherwise be involved. It provides you with the opportunity to establish a community of informed consumers that will go out and continue to educate other people so that we can begin to combat the issues of agricultural literacy that are widespread throughout the United States. So as an ag teacher, it really allowed me to understand that I just need to make sure that I'm taking each of the three components of agriculture education very seriously and ensuring that I'm providing the equal amount of instruction and opportunity in all three components and not too heavily emphasizing one over the other. And if we will do that, I think that we will be able to reach all of our students and make a true impact that will last with them, not only during their middle school, but as they transition into the subsequent high school program.
I agree with everything that David just said and would add to it that for those of us in universities, we undoubtedly need to spend more time in differentiating between middle school and high school ag education programs and working with our teachers and using resources like David Chapman and others What is it that you do differently with middle schoolers to turn them on about agriculture? And how do you use different types of SAE and FFA experiences to enhance classroom and laboratory instruction, because middle school is not like high school, and we need to work together, not just in curriculum, but also these other activities and programs that are supposed to emanate from our classroom and laboratory instruction appropriate for middle schoolers.
Well, David and Kirby, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a great conversation talking about middle schoolers. It goes back to something we've said on here many times. As ag teachers, it's every classroom, every student, every day that we're working with, and we got to make sure that we're engaging our students there and meeting their needs. And the big thing and takeaway from this study is exactly right. Middle school is different than high school. They're not just shorter high school students. So they have special needs, and we got to make sure that we're able to apply these things in the classroom, the SAE and the FFA. And maybe we need to take a hard look at what we're offering in the FFA to make sure it's appropriate for middle schoolers, not just doing the same thing that the high school FFA members do. Great conversation. Thank you all very much. As a reminder, go through, like us on Facebook, follow us on iTunes. We appreciate what everybody's been doing here. So for Kate and the absent Marshall, this is Brian. We're here by the Owl Pellet. We thank you all for what you do. You do make a difference. Have a great day.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.